Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your hosts, Bellstar
and the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona, and the world at large.
We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call, 646-915-8421. Email thctucson@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, visit us on MySpace, or tweet with us on Twitter.
Our sponsors for Weed Day Wednesday are Growers House, Accurate Med Testing, EasyMarijuana.com, and Culture Magazine.
We would like to thank Tumbleweed Health Center and Studio C for hosting our show every week, along with the lowest price certifications in town. You'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things educational related to medical cannabis.
Visit Tumbleweed Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedhealthcenter.com.
And remember,
be smart, be safe, and educate.
Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, everybody.
Good morning, Bellstar. How are you?
Good morning, Cannabis Kid. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Excellent. I'm loading a bong this morning. I'm going to say it. I'm loading a bong.
I'm going to put it out there.
Some sour diesel. I was reading through High Times magazine the other day, and they were talking about all the strains that were no longer available, like from the 90s, like Chronic and Northern
Light. But you can find.
Well, yeah, but they're saying they're not in
rotation. They're not
right
prevalent.
Now.
On the district. Nice. Okay. I like that.
But yeah, but it was fun. It was Chronic, Northern Lights, Buddha. There was another one on there that was really good that I loved. But yeah, it's interesting to see what strains are coming up and coming around. And we've got a really fun sour diesel here for the morning wake up. Who needs coffee when you have sour diesel, right?
No one needs coffee.
No, we still need coffee, sorry. It's still a good thing. Even if it's decaf. All right, well, welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, everyone. June 10th, 2015, and there's just tons going on. Tons. Texas, anyone ever believed Texas wasn't going to go marijuana? Why don't we read about Texas?
Let's read about it.
Because that's huge. We also posted, if you go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com, you can check out the news sections. There's always new news articles. On our website, and you can also check out our mobile website because there's always new coupons and things on there right now. So check it out. I think it's mobile.tumbleweedhealthcenter.com.
Mobile.
Or you can just go tumbleweedhealthcenter.com and you'll get to the mobile app from there. So let's see. We were actually, while we find our thing about Texas, there are, there's another really good article about the EPA issues on the pesticides and stuff.
Good point.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about healthy medications and what does that look like?
Yeah.
What does healthy meds mean to people out there? Being that, you know, this whole GMO pesticides thing on our foods is really important. You're ingesting that.
Yep.
As to, you should be thinking the same thing about when you're smoking.
Juicing. Ooh, great article about juicing.
Vaping.
These
chemicals go with the plant the whole time of the life of the plant. So
yeah, it's not like you put it in and they disappear.
Yeah. So when it's being turned into concentrate at those during that process.
The extraction process,
those chemicals go along with it. So it's really important knowing where you get your meds. Knowing who provides your meds, and knowing if the dispensary or your caregiver are testing their meds.
Right. That's very important. And not testing just for the potency of your meds, but, you know, because everybody wants to know how high your THC levels are. That's just a given. We also want to make sure it's clean and there are no cooties in there and no bugs or aliens. Remember the aliens?
We tried to contact
last time? We never got a hold of the aliens, but we should, because definitely. Well, We don't want them in there. Also, there's another article about 7 states where medical marijuana is legal but barely accessible. So we've got that online as well. A lot of great resources online, tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. There's a whole section about the law. If you guys are wondering what's allowed in Arizona, you should go to our law section because it's broken down quite simply there. The Pentagon picture.
Uh-huh. That's good.
Yeah, that's a good one. So you could check out the law section. And then I believe there was one other article I put up. Yes, advocates push for New York emergency medical marijuana. So let's read about that while Cannabis Kid's finding our Texas story.
It says, somewhere around here.
Advocates push for New York emergency medical marijuana. Albany. Patients and state lawmakers on Tuesday made a final push for New York to pass a bill that would provide emergency access to medical marijuana for ill patients. New Yorkers with severe illnesses and legislatures urged the legislature to pass the bill and for Governor Andrew Cuomo to sign it, as the State Department of Health considers medical marijuana growers and hopes to have a statewide distribution system by January 1st. Although what we hear are people are backing out of the New York races to get into cannabis so quickly because the startup costs are insanely high. The State Assembly was expected to pass the bill late Tuesday, but it faced an uncertain future in the Senate and with the Democratic governor. A total of 43 companies are vying for one of 5 licenses to grow and distribute medical marijuana, according to the State Department of Health. The state posted the list of companies late Tuesday after the applicants dropped off hundreds of boxes of documents ahead of Friday deadline to apply. Advocates said the state's timeline is too slow. For patients who could benefit from medical marijuana for their illnesses, such as children with severe epilepsy, the state last year approved the legalization of medical marijuana for ill people in non-smokable forms, but the system is still about 6 months from being up and running. These children and other patients cannot wait until January, said Assembly Health Committee Chairman Richard Gottfried D. Manhattan, who sponsors the bill. Several families in New York said their children have died over the last year as they waited for medical marijuana to help with their illnesses. The bill would allow the state to offer a special certification to a patient whose condition is progressive and degenerative, or for whom a delay in the patient's certified medical use of medical marijuana possesses a serious risk to the person's life or health. Some Republicans in the GOP-led state or Senate are supporting the measure, but it's unclear whether it will pass in the flurry of activity before the legislative session ends on June 17th, said Senator Joseph Grifo, who is sponsoring the bill. This access is critical for those individuals who are enduring such pain and suffering, but also for the families. Cuomo, though, has indicated that he would prefer to wait until the state system is in place, citing the federal ban on medical marijuana across state lines. The state will issue 5 medical marijuana licenses that each can have 4 dispensaries. In a statement last month, Cuomo spokesman Richard Azzopardi said that the state is moving expeditiously as possible under current federal guidelines to allow for medical marijuana in forms such as oils and pills to patients. The last thing that anyone would want is legal complications to arise from importing marijuana products over state lines without federal approval, or for unnecessary delays with the implementation of the current program to come as a result of layering a separate process on top of it.
Gottfried, however, dismissed the governor's concerns, saying that states such as Georgia have been able to work around federal laws to get medical marijuana to patients. I would think New York could do at least as good as the state of Georgia, Gottfried said. Meanwhile, patients said that they continue to be frustrated by the wait. It is a terrible feeling to watch your child suddenly drop and fall down the stairs in front of you, said Julie Kulaway. Her daughter, 12-year-old daughter Mackenzie, suffers from a severe form of epilepsy. Tom Pobano, the nurse from Waverly, Tioga County, attended Tuesday's news conference at the Capitol along with the patients. He said that he's seen a number of cases where medical marijuana could have helped people in his care. To see people suffering as a nurse, it does take a lot out of you, Plebeau says, 55. And when you know you could do something and you're prohibited, that's a terrible position to be in.
I call BS. I just want to call it because
if they really...
It's a plant, people, and you've got children that are dying waiting for this. Of course,
well,
there should
be a
medical emergency.
Well, and you've also got children living because of this.
Well, living... Well, yeah, absolutely.
So...
But living in states where it's quote-unquote legal and where they're not holding up the pathway
what
to
this
get
is coming,
to any medicine.
But what it's coming down to is who are the people that are blocking this and that they know that it is good for the children, but yet money is better for them.
Right. And so what are their family members
right.
is affected.
Or themselves.
Right. Well, that's what we had to say about that. But... There are 7 states that have exactly this predicament going on. And here they are. Well, it says, with New York State beginning to accept applications for medical marijuana providers last week, criticism of the hyper-strict program negotiated by Cuomo has been plentiful. However, New York is not the only state facing hurdles. In implementing medical marijuana laws in states across the country, legislatures are struggling to enact the regulations necessary for legalized medical marijuana programs to function properly, or at all, leaving patients with long wait times and a slew of confusing procedures. Here are 7 other states that are struggling to translate their marijuana legislation laws as they exist on paper into the real world. Massachusetts. And you can find this on tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. You can go to our little news link and you'll get right to it. In 2012, Massachusetts voters approved via ballot initiative the legislation of medical marijuana and state-regulated dispensaries. But overcomplicated licensing procedures allowed not a single dispensary to open. 2 dozen lawsuits followed, a 2.5-year wait for the law to be enforced. This May, Governor Charlie Baker overhauled the overzealous licensing protocol of the previous administration to speed up the regulatory process. Things in Massachusetts were looking up with the first dispensary set to open later this month, but then unprecedented requirements on marijuana's lead levels proved to be an impossible standard that even grocery store vegetables couldn't meet. As residents wait for a viable program, confusion about the law has led to the arrest of doctor-certified medical marijuana patients, despite state regulations allowing them to grow and possess their own medical marijuana supply.
Once again, it comes down to that fear mongering, and they are using fear to keep on doing this to people. Oh, we're arresting more people, and you do this, and you're going to get in trouble. Well, when you know that the plant is good, and you know that it does work for people's ailments and qualifying conditions, and it relieves pain from horrible viruses and things like that. When does it stop
when
for these people?
When does it end, right?
These people that are, you know...
Suffering.
That are trying to block it.
And trying to block it, but for the people that are suffering, this has to end. This has got to stop.
Enrollment in Minnesota's medical marijuana program just kicked off, and patients will be legally able to purchase the plant when dispensaries open on July 1st. But with a short list of qualifying conditions for patients, 9... and a low maximum number of dispensaries, 8, the program is one of the strictest in the country. Homegrown is banned along with the smokable marijuana, but not vaping. Rather than allowing the raw cannabis plant, only extracts like oils and pills are okay under the law. Patients face a stiff $200 annual enrollment fee for the program, and a host of regulations may deter physicians from involvement. Expected to help treat 5,000 people in Minnesota, 0.1% of the state's population's Minnesota law has become a template for the stringent medical marijuana policies that advocates say place political expediency over patients' needs. The Minnesota model is reflected in New York's medical marijuana law, which, among other rules, also bans smokable, raw, and similarly limits the number of qualifying conditions and licensed dispensaries. In Illinois, After legalizing medical marijuana in 2013, Illinois, in the second year for a four-year medical marijuana pilot program, but with no existing dispensaries to access. Government Pat Quinn left the office without issuing any licenses for the medical marijuana distribution, prompting his replacement, Bruce Rayner, to swiftly condemn Quinn's interactions and issues a slew of licenses for providers in January. Still, dispensaries are not expected to open until the fall. In the meantime, homegrown marijuana is not allowed, nor ever, as the law stands, and less than 2,500 patients have applied for the program. Governor Murnure is currently sitting on a bill that Congress has approved to extend the trial period for up to another 4 years after dispensaries open.
They will never, ever, ever be able to grow. And see, this is one of those things, states' rights. Just like with alcohol, any state can say, we're a dry city, county, state, we don't sell Sundays or whatever you want to do. This is what's going to happen. It's going to be sad because there's no reason people shouldn't be allowed to grow this plant.
It's going to take you know, the people who are in normal and all those organizations up there that are fighting. More people, like you said, are going to have to come out of the cannabis closet and start standing up for what they want.
Right.
Because the government will tell you no until you tell them yes. And they're going to make your decisions for you until you tell them otherwise. They're not here for you. They're here for themselves. So until you tell them that this isn't working for you,
right,
they don't know anything else, or they don't care.
Right.
So get out there. Get out there and speak. Get out there. Talk to your local organizations.
Yeah, talk to your politicians.
Leap. Normal.
You can get online and find out what organizations are for this and what aren't, what presidential candidates are, what aren't. Find out what's going on in your county,
mm-hmm.
in your jurisdiction.
In your state.
In your state.
Because that really comes down to it. This is a state decision. So if your state is willing to take this on, you know, show them the facts. Show them these other things that, you know, people aren't talking about. I know 60 Minutes did a article, or they didn't.
They had a story the other night on TV.
They had a story, but there was things that High Times came out with that said that they didn't tell you, like how much money that it's bringing into helping out with students and schools and how their
economy.
Well, our economy and how the dispensaries, the nonprofit organizations that these are giving back to their
Hopefully. Most of them are giving
Mostly are giving back to the community in some form or some way.
Well, we hope that.
Yeah,
money that they're generating from these programs definitely
is making money. Yeah,
definitely going to
for
programs,
taxes and
schools,
things like that.
Roads, housing, different, you know, kinds of really good programs. So just support your local state program.
Know what
if
they're
you don't
doing.
Have one, make one up. They all have one now. Delaware. After Delaware legalized medical marijuana, well, I take that back. They don't allow one now. We should check our normal map to see who's doing what. Because if you go to norml.org, you can see on our little United States of America map who's doing what. So Delaware legalized medical marijuana in 2011. The state's governor, Jack Markell, suspended implementation of the program for years, citing fear of federal intervention and a threatening letter the U.S. Attorney's Office sent in late 2012. Congress banned federal funds from being used to intervene in state-authorized medical marijuana programs this past December. The law requires one medical marijuana dispensary per county, but authorized permits, there are only 200 of them. They're still waiting for the first and only licensed dispensary pilot program to open. It will grow only 150 marijuana plants.
That's not enough.
But that's the start. We give kudos to people that are starting, but let's get rolling here. Let's get the avalanche going. New Jersey. All right, Bon Jovi. In January of 2010. See, you should have a celebrity for every state out there smoking pot and saying, let's do this. John, come on now. We went to the prom together. You can support us here. Bon Jovi. I know your real last name. Don't make me say it. Okay. Governor Chris Christie's hardline objections prompted stifling disagreements between him, the state's Department of Human Services, and the legislature. The first dispensary didn't open until 3 years later in 2013, and its role as the sole provider of medical marijuana in the state prompted complaints from registered patients about limited access and long waits. Today, the state's program remains only half operational, with just three of the six dispensaries allowed by the law open for business. Tumbleweed, Delaware? I don't know, I'm not saying New Jersey. Marijuana policy reforms point to New Jersey's failure as a cautionary tale, especially when discussing other states with similarly restrictive policies. The law permits patients from cultivating marijuana at home, lists only 9 qualifying conditions, and has stifled doctor participation with licensing regulations. With patients' costs reaching $500 an ounce, New Jersey's weed is the most expensive in the country and largely cannot compete with the cheaper black market. $500 an ounce. Wow. All right. New Hampshire. In 2013, New Hampshire passed legislation allowing just 4 state-licensed dispensaries to treat patients suffering from only 5 qualifying medical conditions. The law mandated that the State Department of Health and Human Services approve at least 2 dispensaries by the end of January 2015. So far, it has approved 0. Without legal home grows or a process to even apply for a medical marijuana card, New Hampshire residents who would be covered under the law would have no protection from prosecution. Dispensaries are not expected to open until January of 2016. Qualifying patients will be able to register for the program a few months before they open shop. Tell us about Texas, Cannabis Kids.
Texas. Last week, Governor Greg Abbott signed a bill legalizing treatment for severe forms of epilepsy with cannabis oil, low
in THC.
Uh-huh.
They spelled it wrong.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, it confused them. I was like, what kind of a new cannabinoid is this?
They
forgot the T.
Yeah.
Tetrahydrocannabinol,
THC, and high in cannabidiol, CBD, a non-psychoactive component of cannabis. To qualify, patients must have unsuccessfully experimented with 2 traditional epilepsy medications and secured the approval of 2 doctors. Texas joins more than a dozen states that, since early 2014, have passed legislation legalizing marijuana with high CBD levels and low or no levels of THC for treatment of devastating seizure disorders. This cannabis legalization is rarely functional. This form of marijuana legislation is rarely functional, often because states fail to build the regulations to provide the medicine, mm-hmm. or because they rely on federal permission they will not receive while marijuana is classified as a Schedule I drug.
There are also a handful of states like Louisiana that have unworkable marijuana legalization on the books since the 80s. These states, along with ones like Texas that have CBD-focused laws, are uncounted in the generally accepted 23 in D.C. tally of U.S. municipalities that have legalized medical marijuana. All these states demonstrate that, as momentum builds for the increasingly popular yet still relatively new policy reform, medical marijuana legislation, a variety of factors from lack of experience to political resistance to logistical failures, leave reality lagging behind the law. Well, that's an interesting point. I don't know that reality is lagging behind as much as people that aren't educated are lagging behind, because that's the problem. You've got to get educated. People are just saying no, 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 because that's all they've heard for their whole life. Well, hey, all you senators who are older than 50 or 60, go open your grandparents' medicine chest and pull out the Eli Lilly bottle of cannabis that she was taking for headaches and gout and cramps and whatever else was going on. You know, seriously, it's education that's the problem here. People need to be seriously educated.
Or find out who the lawmakers are that are getting paid to say no.
Right?
Because I can guarantee you, they're showing, there's definitely some disillusion going on and how much the state can make and how much they're, you know, in indebted to some of the pharmaceutical companies that are
and
in
the
state.
Organizations that,
you know,
right.
How many people have Medicare and that are on medication? Think about that for every state.
Yeah.
Think about how many, you know, veterans or senior citizens that live in the state that are being blocking. How much money will the pharmaceutical companies lose if medical marijuana is now introduced as a form of medication?
I'm not saying,
but follow the trail of money. And when you're thinking about who's behind all these things, I mean, it's definitely people with money. People with money want more money because they don't have enough.
Well, and the people that are coming out to start these programs are usually the people with money now as well. So, but, you know, like we just read, New York saying, hey, you know, this is expensive. A lot of people are backing out. We'll see. It's happening all over.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's going to have a turn. They're going to have, if you want to get in this business, if you haven't done so already, there's so many opportunities. Look at Delaware. Look at, you know, New Jersey. You've
mm-hmm.
got places that have all these, you know, rules and statutes and legislature set up saying, yeah, we can have dispensaries. We're just not going to open them yet. So get involved. Get out
mm-hmm.
there. Vote. We've got some elections coming up. We always have elections. Get involved. Just get involved.
Just know what's going on is the most important part. And I think that's the first thing is educating yourself on just these issues that are going along with each state.
Yeah.
And finding out, hey, what interests you? I mean, find out
right.
what...
Because
there's
so many parts of this.
There's the political part. There's the medical part. There's
retail part.
There's the
spiritual.
There's the dispensary
part. There's a spiritual group that just got granted their their nonprofit.
501c3
got their first religious cannabis nonprofit started.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them.
Woo-hoo. So, I mean, there's so many different parts. Check this out.
Yeah, there is. Check out what Colorado did. Colorado cuts marijuana tax. Targets black market while organized a 20% tax. Colorado is leading again, this time with a permanent tax break on recreational marijuana. The state's lowering the tax from 10% to 8%, effective July 2017.
Just making too much money.
Yeah, we just get
Can you guys imagine that?
We want to share.
Can you imagine your state
well,
going...
Well, this is what's happening, but this is why
I know.
They're doing it. A move that could cut into the Colorado's black market.
Uh-huh.
Colorado was the first state to legalize marijuana for recreational use, and now it's passed the marijuana tax relief. There's even a one-time tax holiday, September 16th, from the state of this year, September 16, 2015, from the 10% state sales tax. Governor John Hickenlooper signed the provisions into law, noting that this should lower the price of legal cannabis. A voter initiative is set, too. The question for voters is whether Colorado can keep the estimated $58 million in pot tax collected this fiscal year. Colorado's Taxpayers' Bill of Rights, TABOR, requires the state to issue refunds to taxpayers if the state's spending or revenue collections exceed the previous projections. Oh, so to try to avoid the refund requirement, legislatures introduced HB 15-1367, creating a ballot initiative to allow Colorado's voters to approve of the state keeping $58 million in marijuana revenue. I hope they get it. What they're going to be doing with it as well. Otherwise, they're going to get their money back, I have a feeling. Regardless of whether the ballot initiative passes, Colorado did lower the sales tax on marijuana from 10% to 8% beginning July of 2017. Eliminating the sales tax for just September 16, 2015 meets constitutional obligations. But even that one-day tax hiatus has a price. The tax holiday is expected to cost about $100,000 plus $3.6 million for a one-day elimination of the 15% excise tax. If voters agree to let Colorado spend that money, the earmarks are pretty clear. Colorado has already approved Proposition AA, my friend would call it AA, which outlines how marijuana taxes would be spent. If the ballot initiative passes, the revenues will be used for the voter-approved projects, $40 million to the construction and repair of public schools. I like it already. $12 million to the marijuana tax cash fund, funding to oversee enforcement prevention programs, public health initiatives, and cost of legalization, and the remaining $6 million to the state's general fund. If voters vote no, Colorado will have to issue refunds to growers and users to the tune of about $33 million. The remaining $25 million will go to all Colorado taxpayers, whether they bought marijuana or not. This $25 million will go via the state's tiered refund system, with 19.7 returned to cultivators who pay the 15% wholesale excise tax rate. Plus, January 1st, 2016, the government will reduce the sales tax rate on marijuana from 10% to 0.1% until the reduction in collections equals $13.3 million or June 30th, whichever occurs first. With all this complexity, the September 16, 2015 tax holiday, why have the 2015 September 16 tax holiday? The one-day tax break is due to what Governor Hickenlooper called a fiscal glitch with the state constitution. September 16, 2015 was picked because an end-of-year fiscal report is due to be certified the previous day, and the revenue figures are looking better. According to state figures, $700 million worth of legal cannabis was sold in Colorado in 2014, and the tax was approximately $76 million. Wow, that's interesting. But I wonder how they would get the voters to say, okay, keep our refunds, because how big are the refunds going to be? And they're giving it back to people who didn't even buy into the program, okay? So they're giving it to everybody, whether you purchase medicine or not, okay? And then if you don't say, okay, keep the money, then they have to spend it on things like schools and prevention programs and enforcement and things of that nature. But how do we know they're really going to do that? That's the question I bet Colorado voters are saying. How do we know you're not going to keep my, what, $15 I'm supposed to get back because you're splitting it through the entire state or whatever it is, $150? Who knows what it is, how many people are in Colorado? We could do a little math. I'm not good at math. So I'll leave that to my brother. But that's a big promise to say, hey, state of Colorado, will you let us keep $33 million and spend it on school?
Or, and why wouldn't they say yes? I mean, we also need to fall into that same category as the educational system here in the United States.
You know what else we need?
My house, like, what up? I got some good pot. I'm just pumped up, got some herb from the pot shop. Ice in my fridge, it used to be frosty. My friend's like, damn, that's a stoned ass donkey. Rolling in hella high, looking like it's pizza time. Dominating all my friends as I eat some chili fries. Draped in a Snuggie with my girl sitting next to me. Probably shouldn't have had a big gulp full of iced tea. But shit, it was 99 cents. I'll be blazing and smoking. About to go and get some munchies next. Passing up on those Cracker Jacks. Reese's Pieces are where it's at. Gotta get me some soda pop. Cottonmouth has been creeping up. But can't remember where I put my keys. Yeah, that's what's up. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. No, for real. Ask your grandpa. Can I take a 65? DeVille cruising to my local Publix. Nothing better than rolling with two super fly chicks. They have frozen burritos. I bought frozen burritos. I bought some Ben and Jerry's. And then I bought some Cheetos. Hello, hello, my main man Obama. A couple states have just reformed their laws on marijuana. What you gonna do, send the feds there? Hell no, the DEAs would be like, aw, they got volcanoes.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome.
Know about the science of marijuana? What you know about people suffering from glaucoma? They need it, it helps them with their condition. If you don't believe me, then just ask some eye physicians. Thank your granddad for voting for that guy Richard Nixon is the president who made the plant illegal, but science is now showing that it's medicine for people, and the private sector's fighting to keep all of that illegal. Alcohol and tobacco, pharmaceutical prisons. I'll take those four major lobby groups and fight those motherfuckers. They're making money day and night, all those motherfuckers, and bribing Congress out of sight, all those motherfuckers. They'd be like, oh, it's immoral and unhealthy. see. I'm like, how many people are you making wealth? Anti-marijuana lobbies are making all kinds of profits, and they don't want you to stop it because of all the special interests. I call that getting swindled and pimp shit. I call that getting tricked by the government. That law's hella old, so it's time to update it, regulate it, and then get it under state control. Peak game, look into my political telescope. Think it's gonna stay like this forever? Not hella won't. Not hella won't.
Hey Obama, stop being a hypocrite. You used to smoke weed, fool.
I'm gonna smoke some weed. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome. Let's end the war on drugs. It's time to pull the plug. These special interest groups are nothing more than corporate thugs. Let's end the war on weed. The people have agreed. These special interest groups have kept these laws with bribery. I'm gonna smoke some weed.
Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome.
All right. Ooh. Welcome back to Weed Day Wednesday. Sorry, I can't help but play my favorite weed song. If you have any other weed songs out there that you want us to play more
than
this,
let us know.
Send us some MP3s or whatever you got, whatever kind of files, WAV files, AIFF. I don't know. We can plug it into our program and make it work. So welcome back to Weed Day Wednesday. We're making sure that we're still live and still on air because we keep getting these crazy little messages from the tech guys at Blog Talk Radio. We're working on this. And we're like, what are you working on exactly? Because we're over here having fun and thinking we're having a radio show. Can y'all hear us out here? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? So let's see if you can hear us now. Anyway, we're back. And we were just reading about Colorado's tax cuts that they're going to cut their tax rates from 10% to 8% effective July 2017. So what happened was, the problem was, Colorado projected that they were going to make, you know, a couple million dollars. Well, they way underestimated. So in the clause of their rules, what we just read, if you underestimated, you've got to give the money back. If you made more money than you were supposed to, you have to give it back. So what they're proposing is that either you let us keep it, Colorado says, and we'll give you better schools, better roads, we'll have better law enforcement, we'll have better programs for prevention and the like, or we have to give back $33 million to everybody, not just people that participated in medical marijuana programs, recreational programs, or any cannabis program. They're going to give the $33 million back to everybody. And then September 16th of this year, they're going to have a tax holiday from the state's 10% sales tax because of that whole overestimating everything. I think that's awesome. They made it a clause. If they overestimated, they had to give the money back. That's awesome. No one else is going to do that. They're like, Colorado, can you take that out of your clause now?
Right.
That's really interesting. I like it. We were also discussing the seven states that have semi-ridiculous marijuana programs, but at least they have them. All right, let's see. We're waiting to hear if we can hear from you bloggers out there and
hopefully
listeners out there. Hopefully you're listening
to
our crazy audience. And you know, we always like to give some shout-outs. We have a wonderful company called azmarijuana.com that we absolutely love. Not only are we listed on their website for news and information, but Tumbleweeds Health Center is listed on their website. You should now get certified, speaking of Tumbleweeds Health Center, at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. We're in the back. Come down and see us. Come get educated. It looks like we may have another new doctor on staff, so we hope to welcome Dr. Hazel aboard, another MD. People love their medical doctors. For some reason, the medical doctors give legitimacy to anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, sadly, they give legitimacy to pharmaceuticals for so long. But now they're flipping it and they're saying, hey, man, try this plan out. This is great.
Oh, I'm glad that there are a lot of other MD doctors stepping in. My doctor is actually an MD / naturopath. So she's actually gone and done both, which I think both doctors these days in America should be looking into the, doing more of sorts of looking into other medications and things like that. Because I guarantee you, if you are a medical doctor and you are starting out your practice, this is some things that you might want to look at, because cannabis is coming, whether you want it or not. It will
coming
be
back
that.
Is what it is.
Your
coming
patients
back.
Will be asking for, about it, and you should know the facts on it.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of doctors, when they go through med school, take about 4 hours of natural medicine courses.
Yeah, and they don't learn anything about cannabis, I don't think.
No. We're not, I mean, we're just talking about very similar, like some vitamins,
right,
information.
I know. The whole,
and
that's
most
okay.
most medical programs at universities are sponsored by large pharmaceutical companies. So what is usually taught? Well, it's whatever the pharmaceuticals want to be taught.
What their reps are bringing
what's
in.
What their reps are bringing
the reps
in. This is what
they want in.
I mean, we're talking about
could they?
People coming in and talking to doctors who have had 8 years of, you know, college, 10 years of college, and you're
going to be doctors without Schedule One. That's
well,
going to be the thing.
And that's the thing is, like, you guys are there's some certain doctors out there that are getting quite a lot of money from some
oh,
pharmaceutical companies to keep in their same kind of
routine of
and they're, you know, being a doctor, you know, their regular kind of things on how they're being. They're not bringing out any other extra information. They're not
educating.
All they're doing is saying
this is what's
available.
Yeah.
There's nothing else out there, and if you don't listen,
that's the great thing about media right now. They can't even say that anymore.
Right.
They can't get away with saying crap
mm-hmm.
like that anymore because
right.
it's in everybody's faces.
Right.
CNN just had a whole other story
right.
just
we
the
did.
Other night. We posted it on Facebook right
mm-hmm.
as it was happening. Watch now.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting here and I went, click Facebook. Everybody watch it.
Yeah, we had posted that a couple weeks ago about the mothers talking about the,
oh, yeah, but this was just like a couple days ago.
Uh-huh. No, I know. We had posted it saying that it was coming up.
Oh, mm-hmm. and I had totally flipped my mind. So when I saw I was just I happened to be sitting on the couch for a moment instead of doing something, and I was like, whoa.
It was a really good. It was really good. It talked a lot about more about the seizures and the epilepsy, and I mean, this is an incredible
and legislature procedure.
And legislature's procedure.
You know, I mean, it's very eye opening, and the fact that it's coming on these major programs. I made some train wrecks.
Oh,
the fact that it's coming on CNN, and I did. I actually did make train wrecks for you. High five on that one. Ow! It's happening. In fact, 53% of Arizonans support marijuana legalization. And we're getting this from azmarijuana.com, one of our favorite places to go. So check it out. 53% of Arizonans support marijuana legalization. A recently independent poll has revealed a majority of Arizonans support legalization of marijuana. Yay, where's our sound guy for that? The Behavior Research Center's latest Rocky Mountain poll found that 53% of Arizonans support making possession of a small amount of marijuana legal for personal use, while 39% oppose. Support was strong in all three geographical areas surveyed by the poll. 53-38 in Maricopa County, 47-43 in Pima County, and 58-38 in rural Arizona. Arizonans are fed up with the failed policy of marijuana prohibition, said a member of the Campaign to Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol, which is supporting a statewide ballot initiative to end marijuana prohibition in Arizona and replace it with a system in which marijuana is regulated and taxed similarly to alcohol. They do not think adults should be punished just for consuming a substance that is objectively less harmful than alcohol. It's time for a more sensible approach, and that's what our initiative proposes. The poll reflects what we're finding out on the street while collecting signatures. We're finding that most voters agree it's time for a more sensible marijuana policy in Arizona. Even those folks who are still on the fence seem to agree that our current prohibition laws aren't working. That the campaign has collected more than 15,000 signatures since launching its petition drive a month ago. It must gather more than 150,000 signatures of registered voters to qualify the initiative for the November 2016 ballot.
What happened to the rest of the signatures?
Well, no, I'm saying...
Is that really 15,000 is where we're at?
In the month. They've gathered 15,000 in a month. Okay. They need 150. All I'm saying is bring that down to Tumbleweeds. You want to get signatures.
Hello.
Tumbleweeds Health Center. Come on down, folks. Get us involved. I'm education.
Even with these people going out and getting these signatures, find out where the voters are going. I mean, we're talking about people that are getting signed up for their medical cards. We're talking about dispensaries.
Certification centers.
People that are using this service already. Let's get with the program. I don't know who's running this, but let's get on top.
Yeah, this kid is fired up. He just had some train wreck.
The next time you're in a conversation with a person who's discussing marijuana legalization, you can deliver these knockout statistics to shut them up.
53%.
Legal pot targets kids.
Oh, yeah, this is great. This is from High Times, another one of our favorites.
The fastest growing demographic of marijuana smokers in the 21st century is people over the age of 50.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that, folks?
Yep, you baby boomers.
It's not children. It's not the teenagers out there that are getting their hands on a joint. It's not them.
No, it's you guys.
Barely 1% of the AARP eligible smoking pot monthly at the start of the 2000s, that figure is over 3% today, and in raw numbers, monthly silver tokers have tripled since 2000.
Wow.
Kids will think pot is okay. You need to have the conversation with them.
Yes, you do.
If you're not having the conversation with them, you are telling them it's okay. In the beginning of the 2000s, there were 3.9 million kids aged 17 or younger who had smoked pot that year. In 2012, that figure dropped to 3.3 million, while annual tokers over the age of 50 or more then doubled from 1.7 million to 4.7 million.
Wow. Holy Toledo. I love that you can do that with your screen. You can touch your screen. That's why I always mess up this thing. I go, oh, look at this, because you can't touch mine, and then it flips. Sorry, keep going.
Sorry. Teen use will skyrocket. The greatest teen use was in 1979, when 31% of high school seniors had tried illegal in all 50 states. Pot.
What? Okay. In 1979, 31% of high school seniors had tried illegal in all 50 states. Pop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Today, the 20 medical marijuana states and 2 legal states, only 17% of the 12th graders had tried pot. Productivity will suffer. 55% of people.
Yeah. Who have never smoked marijuana will work full or part-time. But 70.6% of people who have smoked pot are working. Even monthly pot smokers are more likely to be employed, 64.4%, than people who didn't smoke pot this month, 61.7%. You know what? It says we've got, during the annual two-week national DUI crackdown, this is the other thing, roads full of stone drivers. During the annual two-week national DUI crackdown between mid-August and Labor Day, police in Washington State nabbed fewer people for DUI than the year before legalization, and more drivers they caught were under the state's new legal limit. In Colorado, just 13 of 359 DUI cases in the Denver metro area were for marijuana. Accident fatality rates are down in Washington and Colorado at a greater rate than the national average. Okay, whoa, Nelly, I want to read that again. This is fantastic. And I wonder if these 13 people actually got full-on DUI. Because
when they go through the process.
When they go through the test, the impairment test, I bet you 12 out of 13 passed that just
right.
Like, maybe those 13
they can say that they
attention.
Were picked up, and there was
right.
13
well,
out of...
Can we get you guys on here? Come on. All right.
Yeah, I would like
so,
to hear about that.
There were 315 DUI cases. It doesn't say 359 DUIs. It says there are 359 DUI cases. Only 13 were for marijuana. Come on now. Tell me. But the stoners aren't doing something right around here. But if you're driving impaired on anything, coffee can do it, Mountain Dew... You know, Red Bull, don't get in your car and drive crazy and be stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you're on, Percocet, Oxy, morphine, marijuana, it doesn't matter. Aspirin, does aspirin jack you up? I don't think so, huh?
No.
You don't really feel
it. Yeah, I don't
take so
really
much aspirin, I might feel jacked up, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah, I mean, it does loosen up the muscles and things like that, but nothing.
Nothing that you write home about.
Would write home about.
But if you took so much aspirin, you'd die.
Right.
See, because so shouldn't do that. You take too much marijuana, you just go to sleep.
Right, and you sleep
really
it off.
Nice sleep. Yeah, you sleep it off, and you wake up and you go, oh, well, that was a long sleep.
Here's another, another myth that's happening.
Yeah.
It says marijuana addicts are filling rehabs.
Well,
people caught smoking pot are filling rehabs because the judge forces them there.
Sure. Oh, I've seen some of those.
And we still have this negativity towards it, mm-hmm. and there is a still field about that it falls under this self-medicating, still a bad drug, still falls into this.
But aren't people self-medicating with Vicodin?
I mean, aren't they self-medicating with alcohol?
And Oxy? And caffeine and mm-hmm. exercise and.
And when we're talking about a plant.
Ice cream?
That has.
Bubblegum?
No right. side effects to it.
Well, no, it has side effects. It can have side effects, but it doesn't have anything that'll kill you, and it isn't going to wreck your liver. In fact, it's going to make your liver function better.
How should I say this?
And by side effects,
harmful side effects. Really?
Well, if someone has, let's just say, we're having a little in deep mm-hmm. conversation here. Let's say someone comes in and has high blood pressure already,
mm-hmm.
and they hit the Laughing Buddha or the Morning Glory.
Well, wouldn't that be an educational thing of what kind of medication that
would.
They should be using?
Well, we're hoping people are educated. But I'm just saying,
mm-hmm.
cannabis can affect you.
Correct. I agree.
And doctors have said if you're already prone to some mental illnesses, it can exacerbate it,
mm-hmm.
just like it can exacerbate anything else.
Right.
But any intoxicant can exacerbate whatever problem or challenge you already have going on. It's going to increase it and make it worse, probably. So you have to know your medicine,
mm-hmm.
know your plant, know its effects. It can increase or decrease your heart rate. It can make you sleepy. It can make you eat a lot. So if you don't want to do that, you better
right.
know what strains don't give you the munchies, right? So you got to, and if you don't want to sleep, you got to know what strains give you energy and not make you sleepy. But those are about the five little side effects that it can have. And you just got to watch it. In fact, we had a patient come in to try the hemp oil that we sell. And he came back. He tried it for migraines or something. He came back a couple days later and said, I found that it decreased my heart rate and I had high blood pressure or something to that effect. He got off a lot of medicines using the hemp oil for his high blood pressure. It decreased it. So you never know. However, you know your own body. That's the thing. This is what gets me about cannabis prohibition, is that the government doesn't know me. I don't know the government. They don't know my body. They don't know what I'm going through on a daily basis, how I live. So who are they to say what
mm-hmm.
what plants I can and cannot
have? Or what medication you want to try instead of the ones.
Yeah. Well, guess what? We've got a caller on the line here. We're going to throw them on and welcome them to Weeds Day Wednesday. How are you doing? Welcome to Weeds Day Wednesday. You're live on air.
Good morning.
Belle, how are you? Hi.
I'm wonderful.
This is Bosch. Hi.
Hi, how's it going?
I'm well. I'm first time listener, first time caller.
Thank you very much.
I have or not? Yeah. It's I'm learning a lot, but I have a lot more to learn. My questions are not really the hot button issues, but they are questions that I don't hear a lot of answers about, and I have wondered. What I'm curious about is the plant itself, hemp itself, per acre. Is it a profitable cash crop as opposed to other plants for farmers? Are we really exploring the full use of hemp as far as nutritional value, or is that something that is also being circumvented by laws?
Well, our government has. Yes, the answer is yes to your question, most definitely. Cannabis and hemp are very, very valuable as
crops.
Well,
that shows how much I know. I didn't know they were different things. That shows
well,
how little I know.
Well, what we say is they're the same plant. They're grown differently. The hemp is grown for fiber and industrial uses, for They make something called hempcrete for building materials. You use it for clothing. It's used for the high CBD hemp oils. They extract for little kids that have seizures and such with low THC. The cannabis, per se, cannabis sativa, as the government calls it, is used medicinally and grown specifically for the bud, i.e. the flower of the plant. And that's either smoked, vaporized, used in edible forms. And these days, that's concentrates, the extracts of the plant, are what's happening and what's popular these days. But yes, absolutely. Hemp is grown in a matter of 90 days. And which, yeah, so you can have multiple crops per year come to harvest, as opposed to waiting, I don't know, what, 20 or so years for trees to grow and whack them down and clear out a forest. And it's, yeah, there's a lot to learn, and we've learned a lot about just that.
That's a whole question. Other, you know, a whole other advocacy group I've never really heard either approached or discussed this issue would be agricultural groups, farmers groups that could make a killing. That seems so much more. Yeah, I did not know that. That's something to be tapped. I didn't know that. I'm from Texas, like I said, and I've spoken to someone yesterday about this. Matter of fact, I was on John Fugelbang's show yesterday on Insights on SiriusXM. We were discussing a different issue, but before we were talking, they were discussing Dr. Arthur Kaplan's recent article on what they're allowing in Texas, and I believe the portion of the plant that they're allowing in Texas is CBD. Dispensed by the medical physician. Do I have it right? And what, that's the big point, is the physician in Texas is the only one that can dispense it, him or herself. Is that correct?
Right.
Is that where we are now in my state?
Yeah, that's our understanding. The CBD that you're referring to is they're going to have a plant that is very low in THC, where you cannot get intoxicated or you won't get high.
Psychedelic.
They won't have a psychedelic experience at all. It'll just be like taking a baby aspirin or whatever they call it these days. And so the CBD, you definitely feel the effects of it, but it's not like you're affected by it. What did you say, psychoactively?
Are they discussing it as a possible substitution or addition for post-traumatic stress disorder?
Well, Arizona just approved that, and that just became allowed this January. New Mexico was the first state to allow that, so we're hoping others follow suit. And we've heard that the CBD oils can be used to help with PTSD. However, we've also heard that the whole plant or high THC contents can actually help as well, too. So, like, you know, we said you have to know your own body, but they are starting with the CBD-only oils. And that's a start. That's definitely a start. We're getting there.
Well, I just have two more points to make, and it was to you, Belle. I really appreciate it. I missed the first part of what you were saying, but I appreciate anyone in the media who points out media literacy. Don't believe everything that comes out of everyone's mouth that is on, you know, it has a radio show that is putting out newspaper articles. Media literacy, and you were speaking earlier, I believe it was an article about children, 12 children, it was a plant, you felt it was a planted article or a misdirected article. I apologize if I'm misspeaking.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
You're fine.
But I do appreciate it in general, and that's on both sides. It's people on the opposite side of this issue, too. They just see something that has an organization that sounds like something they would believe in, and they follow whatever it says, and that's insane. So I appreciate media literacy. And last thing is actually for the cannabis kit, I agree with Belle all the way today. and the fact that, we were speaking earlier and you were cannabis, you were thinking about a word that you came up with, harmful, that there's not a harmful side effect of cannabis.
Right.
Where I agree with Belle, anything you put in your body is going to have a side effect. And I disagree that there is no holy grail, no magic anything that is going to be all good all the time to every part of your body for every single person. So I don't believe that cannabis is the end-all for every patient. And that's part of what we were talking about yesterday with specialized, you know, getting away from chemotherapy where it's not a targeted therapy where it's, you know, just pour poison in the body. And if you live out the cancer, you win. And if cancer outlives you, you don't. You lose. So right. I think that, you know, I think this is a safer alternative than things like chemotherapy? Yes. Do I know that this is a medicine for people that need it, people with PTSD? Yes, I do. But I don't believe in extremes when it comes to giving people a big stamp of approval on things like this. I think it's a drug like no other, or a medicine like any other. I think it needs warnings, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Well, and that's where knowing your body and knowing what, you know, before you take any medicine, whether it's aspirin or...
Right.
Anything, you know, you really need to know yourself and how you react and be open to how you react, you know.
And being open with your medical professional, whether that be natural or, you know, whoever, yeah.
That's
I hope I did okay. I really appreciate
you
listening.
You were great.
We really appreciate you calling in. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
and keep listening, and please keep calling in and commenting. We love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Belle. Bye.
All right.
Bye. Have an awesome day. Oh,
bye.
That was great.
We love our callers.
We do love our callers. And holy cow, that gets us to the end of our show.
Uh-huh.
And that's great.
Uh-huh.
Keep
wow.
Calling
901.
In. Keep asking questions. That's fantastic. I love that.
Well, thank you, Vosh from Texas. We appreciate the call.
Very much so. And stay tuned. Doug Klein's coming on in a couple weeks, he says. He keeps threatening to come on and tell us about what's going on in the hemp world.
Hemp world.
Come on down to Tumbleweed Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. We're in the back, or tumbleweedhealthcenter.com.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out. We'll be back here next Wednesday, whatever that date is. I haven't looked that far ahead in advance. Trying to live by the day. Live in the moment. Okay, I'm just not there yet. Happy Weed Day Wednesday, everybody. Thank you for always tuning in. It's why we get up so early and why our silver sister brings us coffee so we can function in the morning.
And yummy.
And thank you, azmarijuana.com, and to our new accountant who keeps switching his name on of this accounting program on us. We don't know, but thank you so much. You're awesome. And Blog Talk Radio and Growers House and all of our fans and guests. We love you guys.
Woo-hoo.
We'll see you next week. Remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.